We are going through Luke, and we are going to be in this next section of Luke, Luke 1, 26 through 38. So if you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the pews. Luke 1, 26 through 38. And in Luke 1, 26 through 38, we see and read about Mary. And you may have read or heard about Mary. You may have never read the Bible or not really opened it up to this particular section of Scripture and may not know too much about Mary. But there's a reason why Mary is considered blessed among women, like to be respected highly among women. And we're going to read this morning why that is the case and why Mary is to be respected. And Mary was quite a unique and amazing lady. Let's read about this morning. But before we do, let's pray. God, open our minds to your scriptures, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. All right, I'm already stopping. But Gabriel, does anyone know the last time in the scriptures that Gabriel appeared? To Daniel, 500 years prior. Gabriel didn't show himself until 500 years after he appeared to Daniel in Daniel 8 and 9. And now Gabriel comes to who? Mary, who is a young woman who is impoverished, who doesn't have much going for her from a society standpoint. And Gabriel comes to Mary, this young poor girl that doesn't have much at all to offer. That is amazing that Gabriel came to Mary. Just wanted to point that out. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant, Mary," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I don't know if we really understand what's going on here. Mary, poor woman, culture not accepting at all of a non-married pregnant woman, particularly from a poor background, particularly not having much in it. But what she says is so profound. And we can learn so much from Mary and her example. I got to read that again. "May it be to me as you have said." She had no idea what to expect. She knew what the angel had told her, but she came to this place where she said, "May it be to me as you have said." Even though she knew from a cultural perspective, if she was found to have a child without being married, that she could be dragged out of the city and stoned. That she could be excommunicated from her family, if not stoned. She would be excommunicated from her family and thrown out and into the streets and would likely be a prostitute for the rest of her life, however long her life would be. Because prostitutes did not live long back then. Because they were treated horribly and horribly abused. A lot of the women were abused. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary after 500 years of not showing up to any other person. And he showed up to Daniel, who was considered... There is nothing written in the book of Daniel to show that he had ever sinned. Did Daniel sin? Sure he did. But there's nothing written in the scriptures that would say he sinned in any way. He was a righteous man. So Gabriel appears to this very righteous and holy man, Daniel, and then he appears to Mary, who is righteous in the eyes of God as well. And she is virgin, and then she will be impregnated. This is something that a lot of people really wrestle with. How could that ever happen? I'm going to give you a really simple answer. Are you ready for this? God can do whatever he wants to do. I didn't even hear an amen because you're like, whatever, man, that's too easy. That won't answer my friends' questions when they say, oh, no one can be born, a virgin can't have a baby. All right? We find all over the scriptures, we find people that find out that they're pregnant and are having a baby. How about Abraham and Sarah? In Genesis 12, 11 through 13, God comes out and basically says to them that, you know, you're going to have a child. And what is the response? Sarah starts laughing. Ha ha ha! Right? So she can't fathom how she could possibly have a child. And then Jacob displayed fear. I just messed that up. I'm sorry. I'm talking about fear right now. But Sarah, and that's not in Genesis 12. Genesis 12 is something else. But Sarah, when she was found to be pregnant, God said, you're going to have a baby, she laughed. Abraham said, there's no way. I'm too old. My wife's too old. She's been barren all these years. We find in the scriptures when Elizabeth, when Zechariah last week, we talked about it. When the angel comes and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. You're going to be found with a baby. And she says, I've been barren all these years. And Zechariah goes, we're old. We're old people. And still has the baby, right? But there is this thing that we as people often do, and it is to fear. Mary, right when she sees the angel, what does she do? She's fearful, right? Every place in the scripture where an angel appears to a human, there's this initial fear. Sometimes it says fear and trembling. And in Daniel, since we're talking about Daniel, when Daniel saw an angel, he got all pale and looked like he was dead. He fell to the ground like he was dead. So there are these things that happen when we fear. And Abraham and Sarah, out of fear, they left and they had some fear when they left. Go to the land, I will show you. And then Jacob displayed this fear when Esau was coming after him, after he really did some really shady things and fooled his dad. And had Esau was a hairy man, so he took some hair of an animal and put it up, and his dad touched his arm, and, oh, Esau, my son, and cooked up some stuff and gave it to him, and then he put his blessing upon him instead of Esau, who was the firstborn. Kind of deceptive, right? But when he knew that Esau was coming after him, he was full of fear. And then Moses feared Pharaoh for a little while, didn't he? What Pharaoh would do. But God showed up otherwise, didn't he? You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear anything. Oftentimes, Moses feared rejection. Moses, this mountain of faith that we often look at and go, that was the same guy that he allowed, you know, water came out of a rock. God used him for that. He parted the sea. He led the Israelites. He did all this stuff. Yet, he said, well, you know what? I can't really speak. I need someone to speak for me. He was fearful. So Aaron had to speak for him. Now, the disciples had some fear as well, didn't they? The disciples feared the storm. Imagine being in a small boat and there's a massive storm going on and you are afraid the boat is about to flip. The waves are 10 feet high. Let's just say 7 feet high because it's a small boat. I think some of us can imagine that a little better than others, but the boat is crashing against the waves, and all of these waves keep hitting and combating the boat, and the boat is about to fall apart, and then all of a sudden, and they're like, what is that? Is that Jesus, or is that a ghost? What is that, right? And Jesus is like, hey, what's up, fellas? And he's walking right by the boat, walking right past the boat, and they go, what are you doing? And Jesus comes over, hey, what are you so afraid of? Well, the boat's about to flip over, and we're going to drown. We're all going to die out here in the lake, and we're scared for our lives. I would say that some of us sitting here today are very similar to those people that we just talked about, the disciples, but the others as well. We have certain things in our lives that we are fearful of. The waves are crashing against the boat, and we have fears that maybe we don't talk about, maybe we don't share, but Jesus is walking right down. And the problem is we can't really see that he's there and he's going to still the storm. We have a raging storm and we don't know what to do about it. Jesus calms raging storms. He calms the issues in our lives and the dilemmas and the major problems that we think are major. Have you ever thought you had a major problem and then like 5 years down the line you found out it wasn't that major? God's trying to reshape us through the difficulties and the tragedies and the struggles. And you may say, that's not fair. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable. I don't feel peace about this. In this world, you will have troubles of many kind. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I didn't say that, Jesus did. Nothing's really changed in the history as far as fear goes. We often experience fear for various reasons in our lives. But we see this great example of Mary, and we see this woman that was so focused on her pursuit of God. And even though she was afraid at that time, she was a strong woman of faith. Some of you sitting here today are strong women of faith, and you lead by example, and your life is an example before your entire family and friends and the people that cause harm and affliction on you with their words and whatever, you still pursue God in faith. And people know that. And you have impact on your family, on your friends, on all the people that you come in contact with in your life. And if you are a woman of faith today, yeah. That's what God desires. And you know what? If you are a woman of faith, you transform people's lives by your actions. If you're a man of faith, you do the same thing. But we're talking about Mary here, fellas. And Mary did some powerful things. I'm going to throw this out there. If this is a little off topic, but I'm throwing it out. If you're a claim to be a believing woman of faith, believing woman of God, do not pursue a relationship with somebody that is a non-believer. totally off subject, like I said, but the reason is because the scriptures say don't be unequally yoked. Because you know what happens? It causes all sorts of havoc. God is like, wake up! Don't you see that when you follow me in faith, part of the faith journey is to trust me. And part of trusting me, what it does is it grows your faith. And Mary had to completely trust in what Jesus had to say. Well, what the angel had to say from God, right? And she trusted him. May it be to me as you have said. How many of us would sit there and say the same thing when we know that we could be dragged out of the city and stoned? Would we stand up and say that? If someone came in here with a machine gun and you're like, oh, come on, man, don't go there. And said, hey, if you believe in faith, you're going to get shot right now. How many of you have fallen after Jesus right now? And so if we're falling after Jesus and we're like, yeah, I'm falling after Jesus, and they had that machine gun, would you still say it? Would you still say, yes, I'm following after Jesus? And realistically, that's a scenario in which we don't really know until we're in the moment, right? But it's one of those things that we need to say, you know what? I think I would. You know what? I believe that deeply, that profoundly. God has transformed my heart that much that, you know what? Death isn't going to have power over me. This life I'm living, I'm not going to just live my life apart from God, because I am committed to God. Mary was committed to God and his purpose and his plan for her life. And she was a teenager. Did you know that? Mary was a teenager. And she was on fire. She was living her life of faith. She had a faith that could move mountains. How about in 37 what it says? Verse 37, 137. For nothing is impossible with God. If we memorize that one section of scripture, nothing is impossible for God, and we quoted that to ourselves every day, five times a day, what do you think would happen? Like throughout your day, you're going through a tough time. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. It would reshape our entire thought process throughout that day, wouldn't it? We would come to this place where we would actually come to the realization and reflection on nothing is impossible with God. And because nothing is impossible with God, that means that all things are possible through Christ who gives me strength. And if all things are possible through Christ and nothing's impossible with God, then I have no fear. No reason to be a fear-filled person. And I can stand up and I can say that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can fear no evil. I can fear no one. For God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And you may say, what does that even mean? It's talking about a shepherd. And a shepherd protects their sheep. They have that the rod and the staff that hook the sheep and pull it back to safety when they go wander from the flock too far. Because they need to stay close as a flock. Did you know we're a flock? God is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Right? So if God is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. Why do we always want more and more and more and more? Why do we always want what we don't have? And we think the pastures are always greener on the other side. If I could get that, someone said greed. Yeah, that's true. Things are better over there. I could, you know, if I'm with that person, I'd be a better person. If I did that, if I made more money, if I had that kind of car, if I had that house, if I only could have those shoes. You know what? If I had that family, it would be different. God has placed each of us in the time and place in which we find ourselves to have impact at that time and place and where we are now. I've heard people say, you know what, if I lived back in the 1920s, things would be a whole lot better. You'd be all messed up. If I could have lived when Jesus walked the earth, my faith would be so much deeper. Really? Do you know those that don't see and believe? What does it say about them? Yeah. There's a special blessing, right? Like, when we have faith and don't see, faith is the evidence of things hoped for and things unseen. We can see, we can't see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind, right? We can't see Jesus, but we can see the effects of Jesus in people, in ourselves, in the world. We can see God in his creation, right? God reveals himself through creation. Mary was at this point in her life where she was engaged. She was ready to be married. It was much deeper than engaged. It was betrothed. That was like a covenant. They entered into a covenant relationship. They couldn't break it. They could break it, but they had to get divorced. So when Joseph ended up finding out that she was pregnant, he said, you know what, I'll just divorce her quietly and go off so nothing would happen to Mary. But Mary was the initiator of this faith-filled journey that she didn't know what was going to happen next, but she was willing to trust. I think some of us may go, you know what, if I saw an angel this day when I got home and I was watching the football game or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden an angel popped right in front of the TV and boom, ah, and said, you got to do this with your life, then you'd say, oh, I'd believe. I don't know, would you? Does it take an angel for us to go, oh, now I believe? Because we see that in the scriptures, and we see that sometimes there wasn't much transformation. People would transform for a little while, but then they'd fall back into the sinful lifestyle. How about the Israelites? They saw all sorts of miracles. You know what? We were talking about the other night, Wednesday night, we were talking about the community of faith, because we're in a certain text of scripture. And I said, you know, do we see the signs and wonders that the early believers saw in our community of faith? And people said, yeah, we do. You know, we do. And they gave some examples. God's still at work, and he's still moving. Anything is possible for those that believe. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that anything is possible for those that believe? For nothing is impossible with God. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever havoc, whatever grief, whatever sorrow, whatever garbage is happening. What does that say again? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. God allows us to overcome. Christ, if Christ is an overcomer, then we too are overcomers. Have you ever thought of that about yourself? That you are an overcomer? That all the junk and stuff that has happened and may happen in the future? Do not worry. Don't be concerned. Do not be fearful. Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And God can allow us to overcome things in this life that nobody could seemingly overcome. Things that seem insurmountable, God can allow us to overcome. Issues that we have that lead us to confusion, God can allow the impossible to be possible. And I don't know about you, but that puts a big smile on my face. Because nothing is impossible with God. May it be to me as you have said. May that be a beautiful legacy that Mary leaves with us, that we can implement in our own lives so we can be impactful people and have kingdom impact. Amen? Everybody knows amen means may it be so. So if you just said amen, may it be so. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for Mary and her example. I thank you for her impactful life, Lord. I thank you that she is such a beautiful example of what it means to follow after you. I thank you that even this day, Lord, we can come to this place of commitment anew and afresh to you, Lord, that may it be as you have said, God. May our lives be lived the way you desire us to live. May your plan and purpose for our lives be the plan and purpose that we discover and implement in our own lives, God. Just allow us to be people that walk by faith and not by sight. Allow us to be people that use our intellect, but Lord, don't allow our intellect to get in the way of your Spirit, God. May your Spirit move powerfully and mightily in our midst, and may we see the evidence of your kingdom coming here on earth, Lord, because, God, we desire to live our lives according to your plans and your purposes rather than our own selfish plan and purpose. God, pour out your Spirit powerfully upon us this very day and allow us to be a community of faith that is not satisfied with just coming one Sunday for an hour and leaving and not being impacted. God, allow us to be truly connected with you every day of the week. May we not wander from your ways. May we stay steadfast on the journey toward truth and righteousness and holiness. And may our hearts be ones that are open to what you have for us and devoted and committed to your purpose for our life, God. God, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.